D-May Spangin and Donick 102.5, 106.3 the day game. It's
Sandy.
I don't think we had on Teron Davenport to listen to Derek Mason sing, but
he
are joined
whining like Keith Sweat.
We are joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. Teron, your thoughts on Derek singing there?
Yeah, well, you know, good thing I was on the elevator. Yeah, good thing I was on the elevator and it was kind of breaking up, so I didn't have to hear any of that.
Danny Zook, he was whining like Keith Sweat. That's all. That's all you need to know.
Oh. There you go, telling me no.
Teron, before we ask you about the Titans, we've been having fun today talking about our favorite old guy still got it moment in sports. Do you have one that comes to mind?
Old guy still got it in sports. You know, one of my favorite ones actually would probably be Jerry Rice with the Seattle Seahawks scoring touchdowns. He caught like a post for a touchdown, and he strolled into the end zone. And even though, you know, I don't like Jerry, like he's not my favorite player, it's still pretty cool to see that.
Teron, you wrote a story at ESPN.com detailing Cam Ward's relationship with his father, Calvin, and how much that relationship and his relationship with his family as a whole led him to where he is today. As you were reporting this story, what was your favorite anecdote you learned about the Ward family?
That's a good question. My favorite is probably the experience they had at the Incarnate Word camp. So they went there and, you know, there were two sessions, and Cameron Ward was a part of the second session, which started at 1 p.m. And by the time 2 o'clock rolled around, they're like, all right, shut it down. It's all over. And they did that because Cam made a throw from the opposite hash to the sideline on a comeback route. And the offensive coordinator, Coach Leftwich, he was like, yeah, I don't want anybody else to see him. And it was funny because as Mr. Ward, Calvin Ward, Cam's dad, he was telling me that he was like, you know, they came to us. Like, I asked them what the heck happened because I drove 3.5 hours to be at this camp. And they shut it down after an hour. And I said, what was going on? And he said, oh, well, you know, we don't want anybody else to see you. And Cam looked at his dad and was like, what the heck are you talking about? Nobody has even approached us, you know, because he had zero offers up to that moment.
So earlier we were talking about best case, worst case scenarios for Titans players. We're going to be doing this throughout the week. And we talked about Cam Ward today. Realistically, what do you think the best case scenario is for Cam Ward? You can look at it statistically. You can look at it as more of a feel. But when you think realistically, Teron, what the best case scenario for Cam Ward is this season with the Titans, what do you think immediately?
I think the best case scenario is he throws for 4,000. Now, this is not a prediction, so let's get this straight. The best case scenario is he throws for 4,000 yards, becomes the first Titans quarterback to do that, has a low interception number and high touchdown number, and the team wins, you know, 7 or 8 games. That's the way I look at it.
Now, TD, because Willie and I discussed this last week about Brian Callahan and the way he talks about Cam Ward. It's different from the way he spoke of Will Levis last year, even though he was optimistic. But I just think, you know, not trying to put the cart before the horse, but it seems like, you know, Brian, as well as the other coaches, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they see something in him that they haven't seen in prior quarterbacks, those that have been around here. And they are overly optimistic or cautiously optimistic about what they can do moving forward. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I think it's more last year was a lot of optimism and this year is conviction, mm-hmm. right? And I think a good example, and I'm actually literally I was going through and editing the story because it's coming out later this week, you know, about the trash talk and what that kind of means, right? Because Brian Callahan, he says specifically that they found out they have a guy on the offensive side of the ball that will trash talk too, right, and give it back to Jeffrey Simmons. And he said that's not exactly something they've had before. So now, you know, you got a guy that will do that and fill that leadership role, because we know the offense has needed a leader, right, since Derrick Henry left. And even with Henry here, it was more of just like a quiet lead by example type of ordeal. And Brian Callahan, he said that that's not the type of, not that Derrick Henry isn't the type of leader that he wants. The lead by example, that's not the type of leader that they want. So I think you look at that, you look at the headbutt that J.C. Latham, you know, saw Cam Ward give to Jeffrey Simmons. Like, these are all things that make them like, oh, man, this might be the guy. I think this is the guy, right? So to me, it comes across as more conviction. Then you even look at, you know, some of the things that he's been able to do in practice, right? Even to Simmons himself, you know, they're talking trash to him. He's walking to the huddle. He relays the play and then proceeds to deliver a strike to Chigga Conquo, you know, for a first down during third down period, right? Right after responding to Jeffrey Simmons. Like, these are all small things, but they're piling up and they're convincing these guys that he could be the one for them.
Now, also, before I pass it over to Willie, we also did it with Jeffrey Simmons, and you mentioned he and Jeff, the worst case, best case scenario for Jeff. Can you see this happening moving forward with Jeff Simmons next year, right around this time? And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, so don't get me wrong, people, that Jeffrey will be a no-show next year, and it will be because of contract situations. And then the Titans will have to make a decision on whether to try to get something for Jeffrey now or try to re-sign him and sort of move on with them that way. So how do you think this looks come next season or next offseason right around this time?
Well, you know, honestly, that could have been something this year, but they were able to avoid that. And, I mean, I think when you look at Jeff's contract, it's still, you know, top five, I believe, among defensive tackles, right, interior guys. And, I mean, look, man, let's be honest, Milton Williams and the Patriots, like, that contract messed it up for everybody. You know, everybody had to go back and relook at their situation. So next year, we'll see. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what he does this year. Like, can he finally get to those double-digit sacks? Will he finally consistently win those rare occasions where he gets one-on-ones? Will he start splitting the double team a little bit better, you know, and flush the quarterback to whoever's coming on the outside? Those are all things that I think are going to weigh into it. If he has another one of the years that Jeff has had, like last year, or the year before, then I don't really think he's going to have grounds to go back and say, hey, let's look at this.
And I brought it up because of what has happened this year, in particular him being the only guy not there at the building for that voluntary OTAs. And I brought it up because, to me, he understands that this is a contract season. And again, it is what it is, and it's not a bad thing, but he understands this is a contract season. So for him, he's trying to do whatever he needs to do to make sure that he's a much better player this upcoming season than he was last season. And last season, he was a damn good player, but he just wasn't at the bar that he had set two seasons ago.
Right, and I think, you know, the bigger picture in that is, yeah, of course, as you said, you know, he wants to do everything he can to be a better player. And he felt that wherever he was training, you know, in Dallas and up here, was going to make him a better player. But I think with the contract situation next year, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's there for voluntary, just because it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? I don't want to – his saying, right? Give him a reason. Like, that's the same for his foundation. I think it's going to be the opposite, where it's like, I don't want to give them a reason to try to highlight, hey, you didn't even – you're supposed to be our leader. You weren't here for voluntary OTAs. How are you our leader? Why should we pay you? So I think he's going to be there just, you know, from that perspective, from the optical perspective.
Teron, before we let you go, I don't believe we have spoken to you since Jeffrey Simmons addressed reporters for the first time at mandatory minicamp last week. What did you make of his response to not coming to the voluntary portion of the offseason program? He mentioned it was a personal decision on multiple fronts, but in terms of how he answered the question, the tone in which he answered the question, how do you think that Simmons handled that?
Yeah, I think the tone was fine. Like, he didn't have a defensive tone. It was sincere. I would like to have gotten him to open up a little bit more to why he thought it was better to train on his own as opposed to with the team and you know, for their different activities. But I do understand the perspective that he gave, just as far as like, hey, I recognize it to be important. I found another way to continue to make myself better. I'm 20 pounds lighter, feel more explosive, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that, holds some weight. But again, he should have been, from an optical perspective, he should have been there. He knew that he was, I would imagine he knew he was the only one not there, being as though he communicated with the coaches. I'm sure and other players, I'm sure that was relayed to him. So knowing that, maybe not the first couple of days, but come at some point just to avoid this whole thing that we have going on as far as like this being the conversation.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us as he does every Monday on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Teron, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
Teron Davenport on the program. 615-737-1025. We have more of the old the old guys still got it. A lot of texts that we can get to. Also, in my opinion, I emphasize, in my opinion, some major breaking news in the world of sports. Quote-unquote sports. And we'll discuss that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.